I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, just three faith births talking about movies.
A couple of degenerates.
Mm-hmm. And Madison.
And me.
Who is genetically perfect.
Of invalids.
Madison, thank you so much for being willing to be seen with a couple of degenerates like us.
Don't worry.
It's been your ladder.
It's been a very humbling experience being, you know, with you guys.
I bet.
That's the kindest thing anyone could have possibly said. Yeah. It was humbling.
It's very humbling.
Reminds me of the words of my mother. Birthing you. Humbling experience.
Humbling experience.
Just a reminder that life finds a way. But we are talking about Gattaca, a film from 1997, written and directed by Andrew Niccol, a Kiwi. And starring Ethan Hawke,
yummy,
Uma Thurman, Jude Law, the guy from Breaking Bad,
Gore Vidal.
Yeah. And who was in it for like a shocking second?
Ernest Borgnine.
Alan Arkin. Can't forget him.
Oh, can't forget Alan Arkin.
There was a couple cameos that took me aback.
Tony Shalhoub.
Yes.
Yeah, Tony Shalhoub popping up for a hot second.
A lovely little sci-fi film from the late 90s. But this is a Patreon pick, a patron-demanded movie. Who chose this movie, Steve?
It was chosen by none other than Alexis Adler.
Alexis. I didn't even know that.
Yep, this was her choice.
One of the best Halloween costumes I've ever seen.
Yeah, she, her and her husband, boyfriend, Wenis Tron?
Husband,
Wenis Tron.
I said that confidently.
Oh, that's really cool.
80% knowledge.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Tron Legacy.
Yeah, they made their own like Tron suits and it looked
killer.
Yeah, yeah, they were amazing. That's amazing. Have you guys ever seen this movie prior to this recording?
No, I actually didn't know this movie existed.
I had seen this once prior.
Once prior. Your second viewing?
This is my second viewing.
I got to say, Steve, you got to follow Steve May on Letterboxd. It happened again. It was 1:30 in the morning this morning. I finished the movie, probably my third watch. And I'm packing up my Steelbook 4K, putting it back on the shelf. I walk over all happy. I'm like, Steve's going to love this movie so much.
Oh, no.
He loves the sci-fi.
I do love the sci-fi.
And he, not just that, but this is a sci-fi neo-noir. There aren't that many.
I love neo-noir.
There aren't that many.
Yeah.
The only other one I could think of at the moment, Strange Days counts for sure, but then there's A Blade Runner, one of Steve's favorite movies of all time. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, my buddy Steve's going to love
Uh-oh.
He didn't. Now his rating system is such that he might have quite liked the movie, and still giving it what he gave it.
I'm on my letterbox now.
I'm talking about him like he's not here.
And hello, Steve, I don't see your score.
I gave it a 2.5 stars out of 5.
Oh.
So let's start with you, you son of a bitch.
You piece of shit.
Explain those 2.5 stars, please.
Now, to be clear, I don't think anyone except maybe Alexis likes this movie as much as I do. So it's not like you gave.
You don't know me.
Blade Runner. That's what I'm saying. I don't think. It's not like you gave Jurassic Park 2 stars or something like right. Shock. You know, like, what? Who doesn't like Jurassic Park? Yeah. Right? But still, I'm curious because I thought I knew you.
Clearly, you don't know me at all, sir. No.
What was your experience like watching Gattaca for the first time?
So for the first time, I don't even remember watching it for the first time because I watched it years ago, but it didn't really leave an impression on me. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember it at all. But I know I've seen it like years ago. Because again, I rented it from a Blockbuster. That's how I saw it.
On VHS?
Throwback.
It was a DVD. Oh. It was a DVD. Because I think I watched it for the first time in the mid-aughts.
Okay.
I didn't see it in the 90s when it came out. So going into it today, Alexis suggested this, and I was actually really excited. Like, oh, I don't remember watching this. But I love the idea of it. I love the cast. We kind of ran through the cast. Is amazing. So I was really, really excited to get down into it. And watching this movie, I gave it 2.5 stars because I think it's good. I think it's really good. I think in the 90s, it was very, very good. But unfortunately, it's one of those things where I watch it and I'm very frustrated by this movie because I think there's a really fucking killer, great movie in here. But there are choices made and story elements that are focused on that I, for me at least, detract from it. Mm. It just keeps us like, I don't like that. I think that's dumb. Why are they focusing on this? Why aren't they focusing on that more? Like, I think the most interesting story to me in here is the relationship between Ethan Hawke and Jude Law's characters. How, like, he's willing to give up his personality to this person who has this dream. I think that's the most important part of the story. But in a weird way, that story's kind of held at arm's length for the most part. Mm. It feels weird. We're like, well, let's focus on this love relationship with Uma Thurman. I love Uma Thurman. But I wasn't super interested in that storyline. And then there are a couple of things that are hand waved away specifically with the murder plot line. Like there's this whole, like, we'll get into it, but there's a point in the movie where I'm like, fuck off. Really? That's how they're solving this. Okay. And then the biggest issue with me is the resolution with the brother. Mm. Cause like, here's this really, really smart, story about, you know, I love the not post-apocalyptic, the dystopian scientific world where genes are there's this great line he has where, like, we got prejudice down to a science. I think mm-hmm. that's super cool. Well, not prejudice, but I love the idea. I love the idea of, like, this world is super neat. And you've got this really great story about giving up your identity and taking identity. I think that's great. But I hate how the movie kind of just the crux of the movie is just a dick measuring contest between two brothers. Like, that to me is like, come on. You could have not had the brother come back at all in this movie, and I think it would be better for it. Mm. But so that's why I gave it 2.5 stars, because I felt like there was something really, really great that they didn't make the right choices in what to focus on. But I think there's a great foundation. We talked last week at Bloodsport, like, movies you wanted to be remade and you wanted Bloodsport to be remade. I would love this to be remade in a modern day context and just focus on, you know, more interesting things than two brothers. Like, I bet I could swim farther than you. So that was my frustration and why I gave it 2.5 stars overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Madison, this is your first watch.
So this is my first time. I had no clue this movie existed. And I think you had told me that this is kind of how Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke met. Sparked
you
their
have to
romance.
Love this movie for no other reason than it is the reason Maya Hawke exists.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, they met on the set of this movie, and Maya was born a couple of years later, I think.
Oh, shit.
Like, yeah. they And then they were divorced by 2005.
Oh. Yeah. Such a short-lived romance. I had a good time with this movie. I kind of agree with you, Steve, that there were a lot of components to this movie that, like, I liked the sci-fi. I liked the idea of, like, oh, you're being judged by your genetic makeup versus, you know, who you are as a person. I also agree that they could have leaned into it more and kind of retracted away from the Uma Thurman love plot. But I feel like they had to do that I don't know, because it's a late 90s. It wasn't a low budget movie, but it wasn't a big budget movie. So in my producer brain, I'm like, I think they needed to sell it, which is partially why they pushed so much into it. I think a remake would actually be really cool. But as a series, like having it be a...
Like instead of making a series about the Santa Clauses, you make a series about Gattaca. I think that's much more worthy of a series.
Yeah. But what I really liked about it is, so I'm not usually one to dive right into sci-fi for some reason. I don't know why. So maybe it was catered to people like me that needs a love story in order to enjoy sci-fi. But honestly, I liked the concept of like the moral dilemma of, you know, identifying somebody from birth, like their capabilities and like kind of giving them a path prior to them even getting the opportunity to try. I think that's a very interesting moral dilemma.
Because they have those like booths set up where you're, where the woman's like, I just kissed a really good one. And they're like swabbing her lips to see like if he's at a good genetic match for her.
So it's like, I like the idea of like expanding on
capitalizing. It's like creeping their, like taking the Tinder profile and then going through their Facebook and Instagram and being sneaky and stuff. It's the new version of that.
Which... not to brag on myself, but I'm very good at finding Hinge dates on like social media. Anyway, besides the point. But yeah, no, I liked this movie. I think there were some issues wrong with it in terms of like how much emphasis they put on certain plot points. But on, when I first like dove into it, I was like, this is kind of giving me Severance energy. Did you guys feel that?
With the workplace kind of plot?
Like going in a little... And also like 1984-ish. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just the people like all lined up in matching suits doing the same thing.
Yeah.
In like these brutalist architectural buildings.
I think what, Stephen, maybe you're kind of alluding to this too, but it's like the movie has such like deep, high thought processy like plots, but they kind of dumbed it down into like kind of like a hug. Like, yes, this exists and this is like very scary and like can really ruin a person's life. But it's like, here's one example of like how it can work out, you know? So like, that's kind of how I would interpret this movie. It's like high thought, not high thought, high plot, high,
like high concept,
Yeah. And then they're just like, but it's okay. You don't need to know all that. You can just enjoy this weird murder, this love story and this weird brotherly energy between Jude Law and Ethan Hawke. And the weird fruity doctor that likes looking at dicks.
Oh, man, that dude.
Lamar.
Have I told you about my son?
That's
great. I wish you would.
Great dick, though, by the way. Before I get into my son, I just want to talk to you about that dick.
That's my first note. Nice dick. First note.
I do
that
love
threw me off. How do you respond to that?
It's Chekhov's dick compliment, though. I do.
Oh, because he's been noticing he holds with his left hand?
Yeah. I think that is crazy. That he's like, yeah, I knew you were invalid because you're holding your dick with the wrong hand. But also,
trust me, I'm a doctor.
A lot.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
That's a nice dick, though. Hey, nice.
Wish like, my parents would have bought me that one.
Just kidding. I know that's a faith dick.
Yes, yes. It's just like he went through all of that effort to become this other person in like genetically all of the, but. You hold your dick with the wrong
hand. There's no undoing how you hold your package. But how do you respond to that? A doctor looks you in the eye and says, in a clinical setting, you have a very nice dick.
Some great equipment you got there.
I tried to think about this. I was up all night. Am I going to be mad? Honestly?
Or are you like...
No, probably not. Thank you, sir. I'm a little taken aback. I feel uncomfortable, sure. But thank you. You know what I mean?
Like, I guess.
I mean, he's an expert. He would know.
Literally. Exactly. That's what makes it. It's like in his expert opinion.
It's
this
beautiful.
Is an upper echelon dick. I thought a lot about it.
It's weird that he immediately wants to talk about his son, though.
Lamar.
Speaking of great dicks, let me tell you about my son sometime.
Yeah, Lamar. I think Lamar's a little fruity. I'm just, there's a little bit of undertone fruitiness in
Lamar. A man can't just tell another man he's got a nice cock without you making it weird?
I'm not making it weird. I'm just saying he's a little fruity. Everyone's a little fruity.
I tell Steve all the time.
Yeah. We constantly give each other props on our penises. I'm like,
because
sir.
Because you send each other dick pics back and forth?
Yeah, just like, hey, what do you think of this angle?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think she'll like it?
Like, bro, I think I got the crick out of it.
And he's like, take
the...
And he says things like, bro, I think the bow's a little much. Oh. Things like that.
Right.
You know?
It's like, why did you die? Why did you frost tip your pubes, man?
Bye, bye, bye. Doing a little NSYNC thing. Yeah.
Kit, what was your overall thoughts of this movie?
I adore this movie. Because of the writing, I think this script is very impressive from a writing perspective, which seems to be the opposite way that you guys feel in many ways, which is fine. I think a lot of the issues that you guys might have are a product of the film noir homage, you know, especially the love interest, the love story between Uma Thurman's character.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, you've got to have that to be a noir.
Yeah.
The detective, you know, the reason I gave it a 4.5 out of 5 is the way they wrap up solving the killer. He just like, now that the launch is unavoidable, I'll turn myself in. Why? They weren't going to catch you, you know?
Well, that's the thing that made me so irate was, A, I think the movie needed to show that guy was a son of a bitch before he got murdered. So, like, you actually care about the murder case other than, like, there's a body.
Yeah, we don't even know who that body is.
Yeah, like, I mean, that means nothing to me. But then at the end, like, when the murder happens, the Hoovers come in, which I love that joke.
Because they have vacuums and it's J. Edgar.
Yeah, right. And I just love how, like, one person gets killed in, like, this world's version of NASA. And then, like, okay, the entire FBI, get down there. Get on your matching fedoras and trench coat, boys. Get in our little electric cars that go, wee! And we're going down to Gattaca. But, yeah, they show them vacuuming all this shit, taking all this DNA. And not once did Alan Arkin go, hey, guys, did anyone actually take samples from the body? Because that's like he spit on him. That's how they found him, was he spit on the body at some point. They found his DNA. And then he's like, I confess it was me, because you can't stop the launch now. That was the thing. I'm like, really? You guys vacuumed every keyboard in fucking sight. But you can't just go, oh, there's stuff on the body itself that could lead us to the killer.
Well,
the way I took it
was like they missed it and they went back through, because there's like lots of blood and they, you know, lots of the own guy's fluids there.
They obviously missed it. But the way they film it is Alan Arkin looking at the body like, is that spit? Like, sure. Think they would have caught it.
Yeah. I mean, and you make this point of like, you know, they went through excessive effort to vacuum the entire facility, but they, you know, because they have the technology to identify, you know, genetic shit.
Material,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Refuse.
But they didn't, like, hyper-scrub the body, you know? Like, yeah. I see what you're saying.
I think it's a very smart script, and it lets you pick up things on your own gradually, because it opens with him shaving and tweezing and, you know, and scrubbing the shit out of all the
love
dead skin cells.
Love the sound design of that sequence, by
it's
the way.
It's just him exfoliating like a motherfucker.
But, like, the super zoomed in, like the hair follicles hitting the ground. It goes,
yes.
Boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom. I thought that was cool.
And you're like, what is he doing? What's going on? And he looks, I mean, he's a very handsome man. He's very well built, if I do say so myself. I see what Lamar was talking about.
He's got a
in this
gorgeous
opening
penis,
sequence.
Yeah.
And so it takes you a little bit to find out he's not one of the, you know what I mean, until it gets over to the voiceover that he's not the genetically superior augmented person.
Yeah.
He's a faith birth. I just love the way it all gets gradually revealed. You don't know the dynamic between he and Uma Thurman's character early on.
I thought Uma Thurman was going to be the killer. Because, again, I didn't remember this movie, so the whole time I thought, like, oh, Uma Thurman killed him.
Yeah, at no point did I suspect, like, the boss guy.
Gore Vidal the whole time.
But it recolors the sinister nature of, like, when he says, it's very sad, but we got a business as usual, for sure, you know? And then those scenes change a bit. But there's so many little things that, you're right, you said, you joke about Chekhov's nice dick. Everything in this script is like that. It's all brought back. Even the fact that his eyesight is terrible, by the way.
Very bad.
I was like, I know I have perfect eyes, so I don't know what that's like.
Brag.
Nor do I.
But I'm saying, like, I did not expect someone to take their glasses off and, like, be as fucking blind as that dude is. Like, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
He's basically blind. Like,
he had mentioned that he had less than ideal eyesight, but when he takes his contacts off and you see his point of view, you're like, I didn't fucking know you were legally blind.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
He could like, be banging Lamar and think it's bad. Uma Thurman. That's how blind he is. Lamar's like, yes.
Yes, I'm Uma Thurman. Call me Irene, baby.
And like when his old janitor boss, there's so many little things that I want to touch on that like make me obsessed with this movie. Like his old janitor boss walks by him and looks him right in the eye. And you can see Vincent kind of gets scared, doesn't recognize him, because in this world, nobody thinks about stuff like that. Like if you, and it's trying to say like the trappings of power, like just dressed a certain way.
Yeah.
Like it's a class, it's a movie about class, and he's not even going to question it because he's not worthy of questioning it. And so you want to take your trash, sir. And that scene would have been important just for that reason alone thematically. Mm-hmm. But he also took the cup, which is analyzed later and really brings the full force of Alan Arkin down upon them.
Yeah.
So it's important plot-wise. And that's fucking hard to do when you're writing a script, to work things in and out and weave it that way. And they do it repeatedly. The little track marks and scars on Jude Law's arm when he's supposedly successfully tricking the cop and crawling up all those stairs. But the detective sees that and realizes, oh, you are the body, that he keeps giving him the blood. That's, he immediately knows what's going on because he sees the track marks there.
He's a blood bag.
It's not even remarked on, which is the sign to me of a great script when you don't have to call people's attention to stuff like that. You can just notice it or not. Fuck you if you don't. Mm-hmm. And there's shit like that all throughout this movie. And the scene the scene that you didn't like, I'm very surprised.
Which one?
The swimming thing.
Oh.
Because in my opinion, that is the thematic linchpin of the entire movie, is the fact that his brother has privilege that he didn't earn and is so baffled, like emotionally destroyed by the fact that he can't win when everything in life has given him the ability to win. There is no scientific reason. His whole worldview is just upended by the fact that his little brother keeps beating him. It doesn't make any sense to him. And then we find out, my favorite, I don't want
to. Technically, older brother.
Yeah, yes, that's right. That's right. You're right. Boy, he grew so much faster than him so quickly that it. Yeah. Which is another great scene.
Overtook him.
Like just the little touch of his dad being so much more proud of and like changing his name. It's like, oh, no, not Anton. It's Vincent Anton. That's a strong name because he doesn't want this dud kid to have his name.
Right.
Which is how the whole world treats them. But then when he turns to him at the end of the movie during that last swimming scene, and he's like, you know how I do it? I never save any energy for the swim back, right? Mm-hmm. It gives me chills because like I have to try. I have to be willing to die. I have to try 5 times harder than everybody else to get anything done in the world that where everything is just handed to you. And that's why you'll never fucking beat me, because I've had to live my whole life this way. Because science can't predict the triumph of the human fucking spirit. And it might be a little hokey or whatever, but it's right up my alley. I love shit like this. And I love that idea that I'm willing to drown. That's why you will never beat me, you know? Mm-hmm. It reminds me of this documentary I watched called Just 1 Mile. I talked about it on the show a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the guy that keeps winning that race every year is this ex-Navy SEAL. And he has this goofy quote that he says all the time. But he's like, because he gets in the minds of all the other racers. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how do you beat a man who literally believes he cannot die? You know, and it's like, that's hilarious. But also like, yeah, that's true. Like he's willing to run until his heart stops. Everybody else should just give up because they're not. They're just trying to get props and a trophy or do something cool or push themselves a little bit. Mm-hmm. This dude is psychotically unwilling to lose, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's my thoughts on like the swimming motif and the whole fact that like they show the detective before you know who he is. When that little practice swimming pool, it's got like a current.
Oh,
he's obsessed. Like his brother beating him fucked his whole life up.
Think about that.
That's why he's in his house swimming on his off time.
I mean, did you guys know that was the brother? Because it was a shock to me. I was like, ooh.
I can't remember the first time I watched it. I think I was fooled. But I knew watching it last night because I'd seen it.
I had completely forgotten that was the brother until he. Because I thought the detective was acting really weird. Because at first you think, okay, that dude knows what he's fucking talking about. Alan Arkin doesn't. But then at a point he's like Because he's trying to protect his brother.
Exactly. And that's thematically important too, because otherwise they would have caught him way faster.
Yeah.
You know?
And so when he started acting weird, I was like, okay, this, there's something going on here. And then finally when he yells Vincent down the hall, I'm like, oh wait, that is the same actor as his brother. Oh, I think he just has one of those forgettable faces, I guess. Well,
it's like Clark. It's like, do you remember Dean Cain's Superman? Like,
yeah. If
you slick the hair back, you can't recognize him.
Right, right.
That's the thing.
Absolutely true about this guy too. Yeah, I understand what the motif is, but I for whatever reason, like, it just seems so distilled in the wrong way to me. It just it just felt petulant rather than, which it is, because his brother's like you said, everything you said is true. Mm-hmm. But to me, like, I felt it would almost be, I don't know, it would be worth more if the brother was like, he had learned something that day and that's why he was protecting him, or like he believed in his brother. It just seems so weird to like do all this stuff to protect his brother and then go, you want to go, bro? Let's go on the sword right now. Let's fucking swim so hard. And then the whole like, I never save anything for the flight back. I'm like, well, obviously you do, because you do swim back and you swam back carrying him. So, I mean, what are we doing here? And then the other thing, and I'm sorry, Madison. That drove me nuts is they're like, I have a heart condition, 99%. I have a 99% of a heart condition, right? And there's that scene in the movie where he is running and he's keeping his composure. And then as soon as the recording ends, he takes the thing off and his heart's like going crazy. But the whole time I thought the message was going to be like, he actually didn't have a heart condition the whole time, because it didn't seem to really bother him ever. Like, he's obviously swimming better than his brother. And if he did have a heart condition, I think it would show. And the whole time, even though this is the future, they can take your blood when you come into work. None of them are like, let's hook him up to an actual echo machine. You know, like, just, there's easy ways to figure out if you have a heart condition or not. I don't know. It just seemed really contrived, that one in this movie about hard sci-fi. That was the one thing that I'm like, well, if this is true, this would also be true.
Well, I would like to rebut that, but I want to let Madison.
Well, no, I was just going to say that in regards to the swim, when I was watching this movie, I just took like subconscious like type thoughts. I put
subconscious type thoughts.
That's how I type. But I just put, they swim? ? Good Lord. Ugh, men. Let me prove to you how worthy I am, not with words, but with my will to swim.
That's right. It's a bro thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, with the heartbeat thing, I take it there's a lot to unpack there, but I think the reason they don't just check his heartbeat all the time, A, they are, and he's found a way to trick them with that as well by recording his ladders, Jude Law's heart. But also they're arrogant because they have the blood test walking through the door. They do all these things. Like, they don't even look. I love the whole idea that they don't even look at pictures. He looks nothing like Jude Law.
Right.
And it's still, they never catch him.
Well, even the photo of Jude Law, Jerome Morrow, is that his name?
Yeah,
Morrow. The ID of Jerome Morrow doesn't look like Jude Law.
No.
It's correct.
They've taken two photos of the two of them and blended them so that it looks like he could pass. Like, in post-production, they did that.
But also, like, there's a point where when Vincent's a wanted man and everyone is staring at Vincent's face with the glasses on, right next to him on his computer, and he panics, but nobody cares. Yeah. Right. Like, because you're so beneath them that they don't even see you.
Right.
And that's the whole idea. And that's very much on purpose. But I didn't take it. The fact that he was struggling to run to mean he does have the heart condition. I took it to mean he is not like a genetically in bred horse of a man.
He's not going to run through a wall.
It's fucking hard for him to do what everyone else does naturally, but he can do it. You know what I mean? He just can't show that he's struggling or he'll be caught. Mm-hmm. And I love that whole idea of, like, you know, 1 out of 100, you know, people are the only people that can make it without, 99% chance that you're going to die at 30, right? Yeah. And he's already older than 30. Mm-hmm. There's one line that sounds cooler than it is. If you look it up, he says, I'm already 10,000 beats overdue. And I was like, damn, that's dope. And I Googled, how many times does your heart beat a day? And it's like over 100,000. Like, so you're like 2 hours overdue?
I turned 30 like 2 minutes ago.
It's my birthday.
It's my birthday. Let's go swimming.
But there's a line I love. And again, it's more of the subtlety, I think, that I'm obsessed with in this movie. There's a line where he's... Vincent's talking to Jerome, and it's when he's supposed to be sick at work, and he calls him, and it's when, before he has to crawl upstairs, and he says, I'm supposed to be sick. Hurry up. And he says, so you keep telling me. And what he's talking about is that his heart is supposed to fail, but Jerome doesn't believe that he's an inferior person. Jerome thinks he's better than him. You know what I mean?
Jerome loves him.
I love that fucking line because that's the thing. Like, Jerome is so impressed with him and, like, lives vicariously through him.
That's why I wanted more the two of them.
Yeah.
I get that.
They are they're
if Nolan
so
directed
together.
This, it would be 3 hours long and we would spend so much time in that house with those two and it'd be fun.
Yeah. I think I just love Jude Law so much. And this is like peak Jude Law whisper actor acting that I just love.
I'm obsessed with Jude Law.
He's like, I could run through a wall. Like, just, oh, I love it.
I could run.
And that scene between the two of them, like, really kind of breaking down, like, you know, I'm giving you my life, you know, what you have to do this for me. Like, that is such a good scene. And I just wanted more of that. And then him crawling up the stairs, like, that's when the stakes are highest for me. It's like, they're going to be found out. Don't hurt Jude Law.
Which I thought, like, I could see the brotherly love between the two of them, but I also kind of caught a glimpse of, like, jealousy. I don't know if you guys felt this, but when, you know, that whole scene happened and Jude Law had to climb up the stairs and the investigator came in with Uma Thurman, I thought for a moment that Jude Law was going to expose Vincent because there was a part where, you know, he looked at Uma Thurman and was like, oh, hi, sweetheart. Where's my kiss? And, like, that power dynamic, like, kind of over her made me think, oh, he's going to, like, blow the cover. But he didn't. I was kind of curious why they had that in there, to be honest. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, yes, to show.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
That they were seeing each other, but also did people know that they were seeing each other?
Well, also, I think Jude Law's character is supposed to be, you get the idea that he's kind of a lecherous person, like, before the accident, he was a little bit of a playboy, like, hard, you know, party hard.
Constantly.
And so it would kind of make sense for him to just, he is a little bit jealous. I think you're right, where he's just kind of like, I want to get a kiss from the pretty lady. I don't get those that often anymore.
Oh, he's extremely bitter. And that's shown, I think, throughout, like, the when they go out to dinner and he gets too drunk and he's just like, carry me, bitch, because your whole life's screwed if you don't. Exactly. Yeah. He's like, help me. Like, he's being an asshole, right? And so he does that repeatedly when Vincent goes on the date, when he goes outside when he's not supposed to, and he almost blows everything by testing as Jerome Powell to that detective, the guy from Breaking Bad. you know, he almost blows everything right there. And then he's so upset. He overdoes it. Like, what's your number? You know, you just can't stand how cool I am. Lamar loves my dick.
go ask him.
Like, he's not supposed to go outside at that hour. You know, he's petulant.
But you feel bad for him too, because you do feel bad for someone who, like, did have this life and it's been taken away from them. And now he's just stuck. And, like, that's a terrible position to be in, regardless of your
situation. He tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that I think the movie very much wants to drive home. It's like, this guy was genetically formulated to have every gift in life. That's not going to bring you happiness necessarily. He hated his life because all the pressure put on him by that. He got a silver medal instead of a gold and wanted to jump in front of a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's super important to take note of.
Yeah.
Madison, you look like you're having an epiphany over there.
Well, I just looked at the IMDb casting because I was trying to figure out where that detective was from. And he's from the Santa Claus series.
No.
He's the dad of Mrs. Claus. Who is it?
Which detective?
Hugo. Alan Arkin.
Oh, Alan.
Alan Arkin.
That's your reference point for Alan Arkin?
Yes. I was trying to figure out where I've seen him before.
That's your reference point for Alan Arkin.
Yes, but anyway, let's not harp on Santa Claus. Let's not get off track.
Oscar-winning Alan Arkin. Oh,
but that's not even the epiphany I had. The epiphany I had was that Maya Rudolph is in this movie.
She's the nurse.
She's the delivery nurse.
That's the cameo I was trying to think of earlier.
Oh my gosh! I saw her name and I was like, the fuck? Just, where the hell was she?
Just baby Maya Rudolph.
Oh
in
shit!
There.
That was Maya Rudolph.
It's wild. Yeah.
Craziness.
It's wild. We also get the 12-fingered man implies that there's all kinds of genetically modified people that we haven't seen. Like, that piece needs 12 fingers, you know? So he just was made to be Piano Man, the Billy Joel song.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We talked about the scene where he takes out his contacts and can't see anymore. And I love that the tension in that scene is that they have to play IRL Frogger. and he has to do it. And blind.
I love that it's a movie traffic where everyone will not fucking slow down or stop when a man is clearly walking in the middle of the street.
Even if you could see, that's not a good place to cross into.
Oh, sure.
Like, what's the game here?
And then? Irene did it flawlessly.
Don't be a pussy. Come on.
She's like, we're going to miss it.
I'm not going to let you hit if you don't hurry.
Come on. We got to see the satellites. Is that what she was showing them? The satellites?
It's like when the sun was hitting the satellites as they.
Your eyes look different.
I guess
it's the light.
I got to say.
Lamar told me you have a really nice dick. That's why I've been chatting you up.
I got your hair follicles.
Like, that's the kind of work gossip you want going around. You know?
All of the women in the Gattaca are like, hey, Lamar, what's the tea with Jeff over here? Yeah, you know?
He's like, mm-mm.
What's Jerome packing?
Oh, my God. It is noise.
Girl, go to his desk. He's got a comb in there. If you don't believe me, pull a hair out, get it checked. Dude's got a huge Rooney. All right.
It's not even the size of it. It's just sculpted so well.
And
it's
frosted tip pubes.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's got that perfect curve, you know?
Yeah. Ooh. It's all about the angles, as we all know.
This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, you know what's good for you, but your brain gets in the way and you just can't quite pull it off. Like when you're trying to fall asleep at night, you know, you got to get up at 7 a.m. You got to work. You want to go to the gym before work. But at 3 a.m., you're just thinking about hippopotamuses, hippopotami. I don't know how to pluralize it. It doesn't matter. You get the idea. So sometimes your brain's getting in its own way. You know what you should do, what's good for you, but you just can't do it. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. You can help find the blocks in your life that are getting in your way, and BetterHelp can get you there. It can match you up with a licensed therapist to help meet your needs. If you don't like your therapist, you can switch free of charge at any time. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Gobble, gobble, stream fiends. It is the month of November, and thus comes Thanksgiving if you celebrate it here in the States. But it's a month where we want to take a step back and just really appreciate and be thankful for everything that we have here at Streaming Things. One of the many things that we are thankful for are our patrons at all tiers, but especially our super patrons, which we shout out each and every month here on the podcast. Let's get to it. We are thankful for you, Sydney B, Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Brenstradamus, it's a great name, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jace Gramo, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big But Horny Got an Upgrade, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Love Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadine Klitsch-Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show. Gobble, gobble.
The whole point of Gattaca, which, you know, cute name, right? All the DNA sequencing codes.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of Gattaca is to send rockets to Titan.
That's what they're doing. That's their newest mission.
Yes.
Not, yeah. That's not the only place.
Theoretically, they go other places, but sure. Currently they're off to Titan, as it were. Uh-huh. And I just love it's. Do you think like NASA, this is NASA's process? Like, all right, everybody go to your cubicle and just kind of type on your own flight plan by yourself. And then maybe if you run hard enough in the test in the other room, we'll send you in a rocket ship. When you show up to go on your rocket ship, show up in your suit and tie. You will not need to get into a spacesuit. I just the whole what do you call it? The infrastructure.
I think that's of on this purpose. Flight plan
is, I think it is too.
No, it's not me digging the movie.
Okay,
I found that like highly enjoyable.
Yeah, because this is like 1950s. Even the cars.
It's 1950s like futuristic.
Yeah, look the cars to are it. Old yeah. to us, but
yeah,
supposed to be like me. They're doing that like a little space car noise.
They all sound. Like a, yeah, they sound like land speeders from Star Wars.
And everybody's dressed like a greaser and shit.
Yeah,
I love it.
Tell me more. Tell me more. and I did love that he just
does
walks
he have
in.
A good dick?
Yeah. I fucking love this movie. I think it's powerful and unfortunately very prescient. I mean, I think we're getting closer and closer because we can already kind of like
to genoism
predict.
Yeah, isn't CRISPR's a thing? Isn't that the thing that you can pick genes from?
Yes. And we're getting closer and closer to something like this. And I think we're pretty far away in 1997. And, you know, we don't want eugenics. Eugenics is bad, yeah. Just to be clear.
I mean, they had a whole war of that in Star Trek.
And so and I love the whole idea that the way that they talk about genoism is so smart. Mm-hmm. Like, look, it's really illegal to hire somebody based on their genetic code.
But no one follows.
Everybody
that
does
law.
It.
Yeah.
One quick legal drug test and they know everything about you, you know? And so they're all janitors and stuff because they can't get a fucking real job because, there's a 62% chance they're going to die in their 50s. So why bother training them? Right. You know what I mean?
Like it's like their fate is already chosen for them at birth.
And the whole point of the movie is that that's wrong because there's better people they're not even considering, right? Yeah. Which we do in other ways in this current world already without the genetics. Oh, you didn't get a college degree, so I'm not going to let you work at Chick-fil-A. Sorry. Like, what? You know?
Right.
That's a whole thing we deal with already. Yeah. So, anyway.
I did laugh really hard. There's a scene where, Victor's born, and then his parents want to have another child, so they go see another doctor the quote-unquote right way. And it's this doctor who's like, hey, I took the liberty of taking out some really bad genes like addictive personalities and early
violence,
early baldness. And I this is a bald actor saying this. And I thought like, ooh, I feel like that's a personal thing that this personal doctor's like
some self-loathing.
I don't want them to be bald. That's gross. Like me.
I'm also an alcoholic.
Yeah, I have a very addictive personality. Mm-hmm.
Love chips.
Love them and dip.
Can't get enough.
Can't get enough of the dip.
His parents are like, well, we want to leave. By the way, that's Casey Jones from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles playing Vincent's dad.
Shut up. Oh, my gosh.
Have you seen the live action TMNT?
Yes. Only number three, which I know is so bad.
I love that for you.
But that just blew my mind.
Yeah, oh Casey Jones. God. I mean, he's a very accomplished actor, but that's what I recognized him from. Mm-hmm. Everybody in this movie was super successful after this.
Yeah.
Except for Alan Arkin, who was
already super
only
successful.
Did the Santa Claus. Yeah. And didn't win Oscars or anything
it
like that.
Nothing else. Yeah. He didn't win an Oscar for Little Miss Sunshine. It didn't happen.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, I've seen that movie with him too. Mm-hmm. He was just like in my brain. I'm like, I've heard this man's voice before. I can't remember what it was from. And it's the Santa Claus. Leave me alone. Let me live.
In the Madison, Fablemans too. You're my favorite.
Let me live.
Let me exist.
Let me exist. I wish there was also more Tony Shalhoub. Like I wanted to see more of that Shalhoub. Underground like fixer world of like connecting people. Like
it's Monk, baby.
Yeah, like fucking Monk. I would have loved to like imagine Monk in this world where they're like picking up hair follicles and shit. Monk would go crazy.
Mm, oh yeah, he'd be upset.
He would not like this world.
Oh my goodness, there's lots of skin cells.
I mean, when I first looked at not the summary, but just like the what's it called?
Like the log line?
The synopsis. To kind of, you know, lure people into the movie. I was kind of shocked that it was only an hour and 46 minutes because I think it shows. I mean, we've kind of alluded to it, but like, again, just the high concept. There's a lot of cool things they could have explored, but they didn't. And so I was shocked, like, oh, wow, they've only given, like, it's less than 2 hours long, and there's a lot of stuff for them to, like, explain and cover.
I wouldn't fight this being a 10 episode limited series on, like, Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Adapted for a modern audience that probably hasn't seen this movie and would get a huge kick out of some twists and stuff. Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm not against that at all, but I do think I put this up there. I mean, this is my kind of favorite genre. Like, I love my Chinatowns, my LA Confidentials, but also my Blade
noir
Runners.
Specifically, you like noirs?
I'd love neo-noir, and I like this kind of gritty, ugly sci-fi is kind of my thing. It's everybody's thing, but I appreciate my Blade Runners and my Strange Days.
Yeah, I appreciate a sci-fi that leans into an aesthetic. So, like, this movie's leaning into the 1950s brutalism aesthetic, and I think that really works. There's a couple production things that I really appreciated to make, because you take something old and they're trying to make it look futuristic, and they do that with the clean lines that's just inherent in brutalism. But then also I love the there's a scene where they're driving in a tunnel, and they've taken the headlights out of every single car and replaced them with green headlights. So the tunnel is just bathed in green, and the cars just look different that way. And I kind of made a joke at it in the moment, but they're going through the traffic stop, and there's still the orange traffic cones. I kind of made the joke, in the future we will still have traffic cones, but why wouldn't you? They're easy.
Why wouldn't you?
But I love the little touch of making them futuristic, where they put the Halloween, like, fire lights in them, so they kind of, like, flickered with light. It's like, okay, I love that little touch. Like, we got to make these look futuristic. Come somehow, put a little light in them.
And what about him getting through that by implying that he was going down on her? And wouldn't be able to give a DNA test. And then she goes, I wish.
I wish. Play your cards, right?
Yeah,
I didn't catch that.
That's what he meant when he said, I wouldn't do that. It might be a contaminated specimen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, when they're trying to mouth swab him.
Wait, that's hot.
Stop.
I did not catch up on that. he was sick.
I was just giving her roadhead, bud. You're going to have to take the blood. And she's like.
That's now my favorite part of the movie.
I'm going to sit on it later.
It would have been, I think that point would have been driven home if the officer were like, my dude.
That's basically what he did. He didn't even bat an eye. He was like, I got you, sir.
Have a great evening, my dude. Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for being an unselfish lover, my friend. Wow. Carry on.
My young brain went over my head.
Why would it be contaminated?
I love that. Like, thank you for being an unselfish lover. That's so great. Like, you're lucky. You're lucky.
Yeah, like, he's like a non-toxic, you know? Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
I love this.
No,
love.
He should have nuxed her. Love. Like, get it, girl.
Nice.
Girl.
Get it, girl.
You got yourself a prize.
Yeah, you getting a bean licked while you're driving?
He's gorgeous. A, congratulations. B, we know he's got a beautiful dick. Lamar's a chatty bitch. C, he's a navigator. Girl, he's got money. D, and he goes down. Honey.
The roadhead.
Lock him up.
Lock him up.
I love it. Carry on.
Amazing.
I'll wait till I tell Lamar.
There was one moment in the love story that I, that sly as fuck, sure. But at the end of the movie, when she's like, I guess she went to his house and, like, fell asleep in her car with, like, the hood up, and she's kind of leaned in, and she wakes up and she sees him in the reflection of the car, like, just laying there.
That was a choice.
Horrifying. Oh my God. If you woke up and in the reflection, there's Ethan Hawke just like, hey,
again,
I brought you my hair.
My note for that is, Irene, girly, you sleeping in your car? What?
Yeah, with the hood up. What are you doing? That's not safe.
No.
You drank too much. Also, you guys never passed out in your car?
She looks so pretty in that scene. She's beautiful throughout the whole film.
Gorgeous. And it was, like, obviously she looks very much, Maya Hawke looks very much like her mother.
Yeah.
That's never been, like, a secret. But, like, watching super young Uma Thurman, and, like, the voice is fucking identical. It's bizarre.
Crazy. Yeah.
Genetics.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Why'd Vinny come out for that?
Oh, bitch and butts.
You were thinking of Maya.
Always thinking of her.
Vinny comes out. I don't need to.
Always thinking of Maya Hawke.
The end of the movie, so he gets acquitted, right? He does the swimming with his brother and beats him. But then there's this scene where he goes back to talk to Jude Law, and Jude Law's like, hey, man, I want to show you something. And he goes into the the fridge where they keep all the samples. He's like,
I've been pissing for months.
I've been pissing for months, bleeding for months, jerking off for who knows how, like any chance I could. I'm practically blind.
Is this a jar of cum?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you might need it. I don't know why.
It's actually, there's more where that came from, buddy.
That's only the sampler size.
And there's just like the sweet kind of, you know, hey, you know, I'm traveling too. When you get back, you're going to need this for your whole entire life. He's basically like saying, like, I'm going to probably not be around anymore because I'm going to kill myself, which is really, really sad. He gives him a note like, hey, don't open it until you go upstairs. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's really sad. Poor guy. Like, I really felt for him in that moment. And then smash cut. He's going in the fucking incinerator.
I know. That's how he does it. And
what the fuck?
I love the editing of that where it's like he flips the switch, but it's the
engines.
The engine jets like going and the fire.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Which I, you know, I'm not going
to. And you know why he did that, right?
So there's no, you know.
Yeah, he's doing that evidence for his buddy.
Yeah, but I think that's really fucking hardcore.
It's horrendous, but yeah. I on purpose. And like the reason he can't just off himself in a
normal way,
gentler way, is because that would ruin everything for Vincent.
Yeah.
And that makes it more sad.
Yeah, that's like the most heartbreaking. That, again, that's why I keep going back to that, those characters as like the crux of the movie for me, at least. And and I don't want to, you know, I'm not telling anybody how to do their job, but I think putting an incinerator on button inside the incinerator is a bad design choice. Just throwing that out there.
I don't know why you would need it other than that.
He had it purpose fabricated that way just in case.
That's true.
He was eyeing that.
He does call people a lot and order things. So I can see that happening. You're right.
You got the wrong color hair dye.
Everyone knows Honey Olive is two shades lighter.
No, I don't want to change.
But then I do like how Ethan Hawke, sorry, I keep calling him by the actor's name. Vincent has his like natural hair showing by the end of the movie. Did you see that?
Like the color?
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice a shade change.
Yeah, I noticed he was a little bit more blonder.
Maybe he did use Honey Olive.
Well, yeah. But also I'm like, can he not change like the color of his hair and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
I guess they're just trying so hard
to keep him looking alike.
Because he specifically is worried that any stepping out of that comfort zone in any way is going to give him up. So I guess that's why he's so rigid in being Jude Law, impersonating him. But you're right. Like, really, what would be the point if it's like, hey, I decided to do something fun with my hair, guys.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
You like it? Is it
Lamar,
my color? I'm a fall.
Lamar, give me the truth. How does my hair
I know Lamar's going to tell me like this.
Yeah.
Well, first, I got to tell you about my son.
And I do.
He really looks up to you because I'm a chatty bitch and tell him about everything I do at work. He knows about your exquisite schlong.
And that's the thing that I love about this movie, too, is like everybody wants. It's just like our own world. Like demolishing the patriarchy benefits men as much as it does women. Right. And that's what goobers don't understand. Right. We can acknowledge that. Like that there's a lot of expectations and shitty things put upon men in our own system, even though we're given most of the power and opportunities. It also, a lot of it sucks for us, right, as far as processing our emotions. And anyway, in this system, even the genetically superior hate this system where all that pressure is imposed upon them. People, and that's reflected in the character of Jerome, right? Jude Law's character.
And Uma Thurman to an extent.
But also Uma Thurman is like so grateful that he accepts her even though she has defects. And he's like, I don't even want to look at your genome sequence. And that's why she puts up with the fact that he's committing fraud and all this shit. And it's totally believable to me that she's just obsessed with him.
Yeah.
Because he's the first person to not even care, not judge her based on that at all. And then Lamar's character cares for his son, wants his son to have opportunities that he's probably not going to have. And so Vincent's character gives him hope.
Yeah.
Like, God, I wish my son could meet you and see what you can do. Like, I've known this entire time and I just wanted to see. And like, you're crushing it. You know, your scores are better. You're testing higher. And all this is bullshit. And so everybody wants freed from this system. And that's why they're helping him.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it. And that's, you know, it works for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked the quote that I think it was Vincent saying this to Irene, where he says, they have got you looking so hard for any flaw that after a while, that's all you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that reflects perfectly. But again, my subconscious thoughts typing, I said, LOL, me with any person I go on a date with. Not actually hit me up, but you know,
you don't need eugenics to have that feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah. Society itself does that to us.
Yeah.
Plenty.
Yeah.
So I think that, and that's what sci-fi can do, right? Like use an external fictional world to make you take a hard look at your own. Mm-hmm. I think this movie was, I don't know if that's it did
sci-fi,
well.
That's when sci-fi is at its best, is when it holds a mirror up to society.
Yeah.
And you learn stuff from yourself.
The box office, so the budget of this movie was 36 mil, and the box office was 12.5 million domestic.
Pretty terribly.
Yeah. Didn't do well.
Pretty terribly.
But it's well regarded. It's got like an 82% on Rotten.
Critically acclaimed, but not a box office success. And he very quickly after this had Oscar attention for Training Day. Mm. This is when Ethan blew up. I mean, around here is when Before Sunset, right?
I'm not sure.
Before Sunrise?
I don't know when those movies came out, to be honest.
I think the first one was like 95, and then they're every 9 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was on a roll, and I don't think, as I said this in my LBXD review, Letterboxd if you're uninitiated. Yeah. I don't think Ethan Hawke gets credit for being in so many near-perfect movies. Mm. Like, you know, people don't often think about Ethan Hawke when we're talking about that, but this guy's in the Before trilogy. He's in Gattaca, which I think belongs in there. He's in Training Day. And he's in First Reformed, giving one of the best performances I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, Boyhood.
Sorry, Boyhood. I didn't mean to cut you off. But would you say he's like kind of like prime indie actor?
Oh, I mean, I do think he's one of the foremost talents of the screen. And like, he's never going to be in the conversation like when most like people talk about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're going to talk about Anthony Hopkins, maybe Denzel. You're going to talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman, fucking Jack Nicholson, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. Nobody's going to be like Ethan Hawke, but they fucking should.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke's great.
And he's like a super cool guy.
Wait, what movie did I just watch with him in it?
Black Phone?
No, it was an older movie. Shit, hold on. Mm. It was about vampires.
Flight of the Navigators?
No, hold on.
Which is a funny
give me a second
thing for what this movie's about.
Yeah. Give me a second.
He is a navigator.
I'm just going to keep guessing Ethan Hawke movies, right, and you can't stop
me. Keep going. Let's see if
what
you
else
get
we
it.
Got?
I found it. Do you want to guess one more time?
No.
It's about vampires. Is this a movie I've seen and you haven't?
A vampire movie. It's not Sinister.
What was the year? Tell me the year.
2009.
A 2009 vampire movie with Ethan Hawke.
That stars Ethan Hawke.
Stars Ethan Hawke. He's like the main.
I'm like, he's the main guy.
Have I not seen like a vampire?
There's another guy in there that Steve, you really enjoy.
Give me the other name.
Alan Arkin.
No. maybe, I don't know. Sam Neill's in it.
Okay.
In The Mouth of Madness?
Nope.
No.
Because there's a couple Sam Neill things I haven't seen.
That's one of them. I know what your movie.
Willem Dafoe's also in it.
I can see the movie because it's one of those movies that is shot where everything's blue.
Sam Neill, Willem Dafoe, and Ethan Hawke.
Is Sam Neill the bad guy in it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Am I going to go home and watch this right now?
I don't know.
What is it? Because I can't think of the name, but I know I've seen this.
It's called Daybreakers.
Daybreakers. That's right.
I actually haven't seen Daybreakers.
Daybreakers.
Is it good? You didn't like it?
It's fun.
It's a 2000s like action like vampire
that's
movie.
That's on my watch list.
Ethan Hawke plays a sexy vampire doctor.
I do like those.
Of course he would, because that's who he is.
I like sexy
But again, this movie also is, again, kind of another moral dilemma movie, but we're not talking about that movie right now. But I did just recently see another movie with Ethan Hawke, and he's definitely, I don't want to say under the radar, because he is a very, like, I would say he's a household name, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's not.
I think he's on the pantheon, I think. And he's very cool. If you listen to him talk, he's very, he's a little bit of a rake.
Hello?
A rake,
yeah. He likes to sex the ladies.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen there's a picture of him. I think he's either switching seats with his son.
Yeah, the Rihanna.
Yeah, and he's wanting to sit by Rihanna.
Which,
yeah.
like, I don't blame him at
I
all.
I don't either.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not a prude. I get it.
There was I saw an interview. It was him and Maya Hawke were doing an interview together, and someone brought that up to them, and she's like, that sounds like my dad.
Yeah.
He's like,
Yeah. Whatever. It's because they just, she started a movie he directed that's coming out soon. And that's what that interview was for. But
cool.
He also, like, he just puts things in a way that sound beautiful to me. Like, somebody asked him about superhero movies because they always try to get those clickbait lines from.
Yeah. And he was in Moon Knight.
Yeah. And he's like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
He said it the best way you can ever say it. He's like, I don't look at it like expensive, and I'm majorly paraphrasing and butchering it, but essentially it's like you've got projects people put their heart in and projects people try to cash in on, and you can tell the difference. And that's the only thing I look at when I watch a movie.
Yeah.
And fuck, that's a good quick way to say it. Like, because some comic book movies are great and you can see some passion there.
Yeah.
You know, you can see some Marvel movies that have a lot of passion and love.
But also get that money.
Baby, get that bag. I like the man a lot. I don't know him, of course, but I think he seems really cool.
Well,
I love his work.
Let's get into a couple little segments here to cap this review of Gattaca off. Something we're going to try to do for future chosen Patreon movies. We're going to have a couple little segments at the very end to kind of wrap it up.
Yeah, let's talk about our favorite moment. We'll go around the room. Steve, what is your favorite moment?
I think I've alluded to this several times, but my favorite moment is probably
the dick reveal.
The dick reveal. Oh my gosh, it's exquisite. Have you seen it?
We love a good dick reveal.
It's like seeing the Mona Lisa for the first time.
It's got that little smirk and everything.
Put that thing in the Louvre. That's a lot smaller than I thought it would be.
By the Louvre, you mean my ass.
Yeah. I hear it's in the back of the Louvre, so yeah, really get back in there. People are always trying to steal it.
Sometimes I hear what I say when you guys do. That was one of those times.
I love it.
Like, I don't have
the look on your face. You're like, God,
why am I like
you?
This?
You were disappointed in yourself at that moment.
But Steve, carry on.
No, my favorite moment was just the meeting of Jude Law and Ethan Hawke with Tony Shalhoub as the mediator. Mm-hmm. I love that little world. And then that kind of bleeds into the conversation they have where it's like, how do you deserve to be who I am? Like, I'm giving you my life. That was the most interesting kind of conversation that this movie had to me. And it had these two great actors that had really great chemistry working opposite each other. And I just wanted more of it. I love that
part. And then it gets like leg extendo clips put into his calves.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Would that even work?
I don't know.
But I think it's hilarious that he's supposed to be 6'1" and Uma Thurman is towering over him when they're going on dates. I think that is hilarious.
Like, you can't just add 2 inches to somebody's legs, right? Like, is that what makes someone taller, is just longer legs? I don't think so.
I thought they were going to, like, do the whole, like, stretch him out.
Stretch his whole vertebrae.
Yeah. I don't know. Or he put stilts in him or something.
Feel like, and I hate to say this because it's like what Steve does.
Okay, so the taller is what it's called. The taller procedure lengthens either the femur, thigh, or tibia, lower leg, between the 1/2 and 1 millimeter a day for approximately 3 months, depending on the amount of height you want.
That's a real thing you can do?
Apparently.
Is there a longer?
Well, apparently you have to do that incrementally. You can't do it like in the movie where they're like, here's 4 inches, bam.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah.
He's just like walking on stilts. Anyway, that is a great scene, Steve.
That's good.
Madison?
I feel like there's a couple of good moments. I am a sucker for the love story. I'm not going to lie. I think more just from a visual perspective, I really enjoyed when they went to dinner. I loved the venue that they had it in and Uma Thurman's dress. And then for it to immediately, it was just very, I guess, the noir element. And like, you know, he goes out and he punches the guy and then like they kiss. Like that sequence right there was just kind of like this classical, like old timey movie feeling. And again, I just liked the visual of like where they were at for dinner and Uma Thurman's outfit. It was just very pretty. But I think that's my favorite moment.
Yeah, the scene with them in the alley and they kiss, the way the lighting is, like they have the
it's
shadow.
Almost like the Venetian blinds noir thing.
It's very Hitchcockian. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kiss is like full open mouth, like, he went in there.
Thank you for audibly making sense in my brain for what I was saying.
Maya was conceived filming that scene.
From that mouth.
No, she was conceived having sex upside down. when she was conceived.
It looked like he was trying to like put her whole head in his mouth.
It looked like he was trying to give her mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
And it kind of threw me back. So I was like, I've had kisses like that in college. Like, what's going on?
You can see like the real confused passion there. I like that. It's not like an actor that's not willing to go there, like where you do where they kiss on the chin and it kind of looks, you know, some actors do that. Like, I'm married, so you have to like kiss the bottom of the lip right here. It's a whole thing. If you watch some movies, they do that. They'll kiss the underside of the bottom lip with both of their lips.
Oh.
And it's like a But I always find that like snooty. Like, don't be an actor if you just want to be that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what are you achieving there?
Be an adult about it.
Like that movie with, which Jonah Hill, the shit came out about him afterward, but with the romantic comedy with Jonah Hill and the lady, something London that came out earlier, but they had to digitally, she refused to kiss him. So they made a digital
Oh, yeah. kiss. And you can
and
see
it's just
it.
Their faces weird. Melding. Yeah, if you slow the frames down, it's yeah, like ridiculous.
Super weird looking.
Like, that's silly. Come on, man. Come on. But any hoozle, that would have been my favorite moment as well. I love it. So I'm going to switch it to the moment Steve hates with him swimming with his brother at the end, specifically when he turns around and tells him, I never save anything for the journey back is why I win. Right. I just, it's powerful to me. Like mm-hmm. I go hard is what he's saying, basically. In and around the paint.
I go hard.
Lamar knows.
Mm-hmm. He does. Now let's talk about our favorite performance. We'll go around the room again. And I think there's probably only three choices here, unless you get real creative.
Gore Vidal, Lamar.
Alan Arkin.
From the Santa Claus.
Yeah, from the Santa Claus specifically.
Steve, who are you going with? I think I know.
I think it's pretty obvious. I'm going to pick Jude Law in this one. I think he's just a tragic character, and he's just so sad, and I want to help him to bed. He's just so good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jude Law is great. Everyone, there's a ton of great actors in here. I mean, really, you guys could pick. I know we joked Alan Arkin, but hell, if you picked Alan Arkin, I wouldn't be upset because dude's a treasure. So that's my pick is Jude Law.
Madison.
I'm going to piggyback off Steve and say Jude Law's arms for climbing up those stairs. No, I mean, I think all three of those performances were really good. But I have to say Ethan Hawke. I feel like, I mean, I know it's the obvious choice because he's the main actor, but I think he did really well. I think just having this element of, I don't know, the wanting to be something, but, you know, having to work hard. Like, I don't know. I feel like he did a really good job with his performance.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go Ethan Hawke as well. Mm-hmm. Either him or Jude Law is just like an easy choice.
Yeah.
Understandable completely. But I think I got to go my boy Ethan after that speech I just gave about giving him his kudos. It'd be funny if I was like, but fuck him. and then finally, I think this is an interesting question. Madison came up with it. Whose ladder would we want to borrow? I.e., whose identity would we want to rent? Now you have to live with this person. And then act like you are them. You are them. I forgot which pronoun I should use. That's the question.
Okay.
Steve, who are you going to be roomies with? I think it's obvious what I'm going to choose.
I think my choice is going to be a Hail Mary for a lot of you guys. It might spin some heads here.
Okay.
You know, but I spent exactly 30 seconds thinking about it. But my choice, the person whose identity I want to steal, is Adam Sandler.
Whoa.
That's a good one.
I don't have to work too hard to keep up appearances.
Yeah.
B, I just get to hang out with Adam Sandler all day. What does he do for a living? He makes movies with his friends all day, and people just give him millions of dollars for doing it.
I'm picturing you in this like austere mansion, though, and then this wheelchair rolls around the corner and it's hard at home.
You want to make a movie? I know Jennifer Aniston.
I got you a lot of pee.
This milk could be our milk. I won't have to work hard for appearances. You're hanging out with him all day. What does he do for a living? He just makes funny, dumb movies with his funny, dumb friends, and people give him millions of dollars for it. And you just have to wear like gym shorts and flip flops. That's all you got to do. It sounds like the dream, right?
Yeah. Madison.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm so torn because I was like, if I steal this person's identity, do I embody their skill set? Because I was thinking of like famous female singers. But I'm also like, I can't sing. So it's like, how much does that play into it? But I think I've decided I'm not going to choose the rock and roll singer route. I'm going to choose Greta Gerwig because I would love to direct films. I think that would be really fun, getting to work with different actors and actresses and then just kind of having that information seep to me by living with Greta and like kind of channeling her energy. I would more so feel honored than, you know, using it as my own like selfish, you know, ness. But yeah, I think Greta Gerwig would be the person I would want to inherit their DNA from.
Interesting. That's a great choice. I could see you Greta Gerwiging.
You think so?
If it was a verb, you would do it, yeah.
Greta Gerwiging?
Uh-huh. Like, you got the taste in the like jackets.
That. Oh, thank you.
Hot Gerwig
summer. Do I embody her and Frances Ha? Because that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, but also, like, you know that, like, behind-the-scenes viral photo of her directing the scene from Lady Bird?
Oh, yeah.
With, like, the flannel like and the little, headset.
A little disheveled, but, like, is still top tier.
Very
top
much.
Notch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
That's honestly the best compliment I've ever received. Thank you.
I'm just telling it like I see
remind
it.
You of disheveled Greta Gerwig.
Just honestly, Greta Gerwig.
I love that. Oh, okay.
That's just her persona. Well, not disheveled, that. Just not, you know, interested in presenting herself in a way that makes you comfortable.
Right.
Dear
well,
audience.
Well, I appreciate you know? That. But if I was to go the singer, songwriter, rock and roll route, I would have done Miley Cyrus.
Oh, I would have said Hayley Williams.
I thought Hayley Williams as well, but I would embody Miley Cyrus just so I could make Miley Cyrus go on tour.
Okay.
Because I've already seen Hayley. I need to see Miley now.
Are you going to assume her identity for precisely one day to announce a tour and then like,
yes.
Have your life back, girl.
Yeah.
No, because then you would get to live with her all the time. You wouldn't even need to go on tour.
So you,
well,
you would
I guess
be,
that's true.
Oh my God, you would be actually living Hannah Montana.
Oh my gosh.
Change my answer.
Yeah. No, I think Greta Gerwig would be good. But like, yeah, Miley Cyrus was who I was thinking I would channel outside of that. But oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. I would be in real life Hannah Montana.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
The third season.
Miley Cyrus is like rolling her eyes. She's like, jeez, God.
Please. She's not listening to the pod.
But if I was living with her,
Miley, and right
I,
in.
Me just saying, you know, it's kind of like Hannah Montana. She's like, shut up. But then me being such a Miley Cyrus stan and hyper obsessed, I'd be like, tell me to shut up again, please.
Be mean to me. Step on me.
Be mean to
step
me.
On me, Miley.
Step on me. Step on my throat. Whoa, that got too deep. I'm sorry.
Start reciting your fan fiction on the pod.
I'm
keep
sorry.
That for, was that Wattpad
picture
or whatever?
This. Picture this. Miley Cyrus in a pirate outfit.
Oh, my God.
Stop.
I'm getting hot. Chris, you go. Kit, you go.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, Kristen Stewart would be up there, right? Oh, but I don't think I can get away with that.
Rocking all your Chanel.
I think
all
you
the time.
Could. You got the cheekbones for it.
And then just a wig. I have to shave every morning like Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, scrub your face.
Then just go, whatever, do whatever she does. You never see her. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. But I think if I was going to be like something I could really enjoy doing and maybe kind of more obviously get away with. I'm going to go Pete Davidson, maybe.
Okay.
All right. I can see that.
Just know what I mean?
Yeah, just hang out with people all the time.
Yeah, date super hot people. Women. Date,
yeah.
Whoops.
Have a little war going on with Yeezy.
And he's just sitting there smoking weed when I get home, you know? What's up?
Hey, buddy, what you been doing?
I don't even think he would care.
No, he wouldn't.
Let's buy a boat.
He doesn't even know the arrangement. He just leaves bottles of piss and shit around anyway.
Oh yeah, I totally made that for you. Yeah. I totally meant to do that.
Yeah, so
that's a good pick. Yeah.
And we could all bring our buddies around each other. We could have little parties. Like play Monopoly
we
and stuff.
We bring our ladder
like
people.
Me, Pete Davidson, and then him and Adam Sandler.
And then me and Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Just all hanging.
That'd be a fun party.
That would be fun. That would be a good, what's that called? Pass the joint.
Pass the pipe?
Blunt rotation?
Blunt rotation, yeah.
What's that called? When you pass the joint? Because you normally don't.
No.
She's a hog.
Just like how I didn't know that Ethan Hawke actually went down on Uma Thurman in that scene.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't actually do
well,
it.
Well, not actually, but
he did later.
He alluded to it.
As soon as he incepted that in her mind, he made it happen.
That is so sly. I kind of want to rewatch that scene.
It's a great scene. It and I love good. How they do the green screen in the cars, like old 1950s style Hitchcock. It's not a real road. It's just them in a car on a set, you know?
Yeah.
But like, normally I hate that, but I fucking loved the way it looked with him and Uma. And Quentin Tarantino does it really effectively too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like, yeah, fuck it. This is cool.
Yeah. Why not?
But that, I think that's we're running out of time. So email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Follow us on all socials. Go to streamingthingspod.com to find more episodes. And you can get bonus content and episodes and be part of the conversation if by going to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribing in a variety of tiers.
And you can go to our merch store. We're going to have new merch coming up real soon. Check that out, including a Lost shirt, a Kit Laser declined to comment shirt, and maybe a holiday shirt in the near future.
All kinds of fun stuff. Heck, thank you for tuning in, for sticking with us throughout the strike. We love you more than words can say, but that's all the time we have for right now. I've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.